Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show. Two straight up.
Brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. You saw Dr. Jack just this morning.
I did, and I feel great. And you should go to Dr. Jack. Well, you should. I mean, quite frankly, I'll give you a little plug. I mean, acupuncture is so great for my neck, for my back. I mean, it's just great stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's also got herbal medicine and a lot of other stuff. So,
yep, Mountain West Wellness.
Give him a shot.
Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Chuck
gladly got roses for
He did. Chuck, very nicely. Chuck and Rev got roses. I got chocolates.
Chocolates. So
for Chuck and Rev, which Rev ate
prisoner,
all of.
Prisoner exchange.
Yeah. and now we'll go to dinner. Chuck, you know, you're lucky. I've never been a particularly Valentine's Day person. I think you're right. It's one of those holidays that the world makes up to make men miserable, right?
Yes. Well put.
It's like
Secretary's Day when they used to be secretaries.
Right.
You go, what day is it? Secretary's Day.
It's like, so I have today off. And you're like, what? Hey, so today we have, it's not just us. So I want to open it up, all kinds of stuff to talk about. But if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Any comments on Zoom, put them in the chat room and we'll be sure to read them. And also, if you want to go ahead and unmute your mic and comment too, that's always good. But wanted to start out today, I've had that caffeine soda water, talking about a lawsuit that the Republican Party, the official Republican Party Central Committee, of which you're a member, and Dave Williams, the chair, via vice chair Hope Shuppelman, and Secretary Anna Ferguson.
Well, so you're a member too now.
I'm a member too now. On behalf of the party, have filed a lawsuit against the traitor rhinos who tried to overthrow the party. If you remember back kind of at the beginning of during the summer, this is going on, Nancy Pelosi, traitor Todd Watkins were pushing.
Eli Bremmer
were pushing.
Katie Brett.
Britta Horn.
Her too.
Yeah. Were pushed to hold an illegal meeting. They held a fake vote, pretended that they ousted Dave, Anna, and Hope, which they didn't because it was an illegal vote. Eli Bremmer declared.
But they raised enormous amounts of money to pay for litigation, sued all the Republican Party, sued all the officers, and it took several months before. The Republican Party prevailed.
Right. Well, yeah, they forced the Colorado Republican Party into court to defend the integrity. But in the meantime, you had Eli Bremmer calling himself the chairman of the party. You had Britta Horn calling herself the vice chair.
And still does.
And still does.
Still says when I was
vice chair. That's like me saying, I declare myself Princess of England. And when I say when I was princess, it's like, Julie, you were never a princess. But anyway, and then Kevin McCarney, who declared himself a treasurer. They opened up a fake headquarters, tried to, there's no shock here, get into the real Republican Party's money, the bank accounts, right?
Yes.
The courts quickly slapped them down. That all went
away.
Well,
it wasn't that quickly. I mean, it took motions, it took good attorneys, it took everything else.
Right. Like Thomas says, 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare a chair war. Exactly. So they have filed a lawsuit now, and they have named specifically in the lawsuit Eli Bremmer, Nancy Pelosi, Todd Watkins, Kevin McCarney, Britta Horn, and Christy Burton Brown. Oh, yeah, Christy Burton Brown, the former chair, she jumped in and said, hello, I will chair the fake party.
George, yeah.
Right? It's like, okay. So at any rate, they have filed a lawsuit against them, accusing them of seven things. Breach of contract, abuse of process, civil conspiracy, defamation, civil identity theft, negligent misrepresentation, and fraudulent misrepresentation. Basically, the GOP is now seeking economic and punitive damages to be determined at trial. So you're the lawyer, and I know you're involved, you know, you've been involved with the litigation committee. I personally think this is great. You're going to have the usual rounders who are going to be like, oh, we must unify.
Well,
this is divisive.
As they're hitting you you with a baseball.
Right. Thing. It's like,
let's do some little unifying. Wham.
It's like, no, we should be able to hold illegal meetings, cause complete disruption.
Hundreds
to the
of
party.
Thousands in legal fees, and we should be able to raise money claiming we're the real Republican Party.
And in the meantime, when it all goes away, we should just be all, we're our besties now, right?
Well, besties until 2 days later when they file, you know, all of their.
And another thing. So, number one, I'm glad the Colorado Republican Party is doing this. And don't be fooled by all of them going, oh, this is more Dave Williams being divisive. You, rhinos, are the ones who are divisive by trying to have a coup. Coups are divisive, okay?
Well, I mean, quite frankly, this is a follow-up of promises to be made. But a lot of people said, we can't just let them defraud us and do everything else to us. And
right. No, and I think it's good. What's going to be interesting, though, and we talked about this a little bit, but just as a refresher, Chris Murray, who was a Brownstein lawyer, now has his own law firm, who was the lawyer under
First and 14th law firm.
Right. Okay. Who was the lawyer under the KBB regime, who basically screwed around trying to fool everybody, saying, oh, yeah, the opt-out lawsuit. We're
on
that.
Right.
Right. Which is a total lie. And he was fired by Dave as soon as they got in there and they saw. And then he raised his rates. All of a sudden, you know, his rates, they're paying him enormous amounts of money.
Yeah, rebuild the Republican Party.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You owe me. You owe me.
Right. Exactly. And so Dave fired him. Mm-hmm. But he became the lawyer for KBB and all of the traitor Tide and all of the rhinos. One of the fun things I think that's going to come out in this lawsuit, and this is something we have asked, is who was paying for all of this? Chris Murray was not working for free. I want to see the emails between Nancy Pelosi, who on her own wasn't just sitting there in Jeffco one day and said, I know, I think I'll start a coup, right? Or Todd Watkins.
But apparently, you know, we've had these reorganization meetings over the last couple of weeks, which will conclude this Saturday. And she apparently was crying.
Wow.
At the Jeffco one when Rich Wyatt got to be chair. I mean, she said, no, not the Rich DeRusty, no.
But I mean, I want to find out because, again, these people are pawns of somebody, the Uniparty establishment.
Yeah, somebody's money, and it's six figures. I mean,
we're talking a lot of money here. Yeah. Somebody was setting these people up. Somebody was pushing the narrative, right? Somebody was funding it, right? I mean, Chris Murray, like I said, he charged what, $5,000 an hour or something, $5,000 a month retainer, something ridiculous,
yeah,
right?
$5,000 an hour.
Well, he was trying. So I think what's going to be interesting in the lawsuit is the discovery.
Yes.
Because I think the biggest thing is this kind of effort goes away when the people who are pushing it, who don't want us to know anything about them or who they are,
right,
when those people realize, oh my gosh, I'm going to be revealed, right?
Right?
Because the next time, that's just say the grassroots win again, right? Same thing's going to happen unless we push back. And again, the main way to push back is one, to file a lawsuit and say, you can't just call yourself the Republican Party. I mean,
and raise all the money and in our name. It's kind of like,
what happened to that money?
It's kind of like somebody coming around saying, well, we're the real Chuck and Julie. Come on, send it to us. Send all the money that you'd normally send to Chuck and Julie, which we know is huge amounts.
Yeah.
Send it to us instead because we're the real Chuck and Julie.
Well, and then going around, I mean, keep in mind, Eli Bremmer had a Twitter account. He was calling himself the chair of the party. He was taking pictures of himself in Washington, D.C., pretending to be chair of the party. MSNBC was quoting him. The Anschutz Media Industrial Complex talked about the grassroots were overthrown, the grassroots were too divisive, all of this nonsense, none of which was true. So you have that kind of damage. You have that kind of defamation. And again, all of that was being pushed by somebody or somebodies who have been far.
At least they were funding it. How much they were pushing it, I don't know. But
it didn't exist if they weren't funding it.
Well, I know. But were they the ones that you know, they said, we're the Republican Party now, give us money.
Oh.
Or were they the ones that said, hey, if you do this, we'll pay for it all.
Well, somebody flew Eli Bremmer to Washington, D.C., right? And somebody's paying Chris Murray, somebody's paying Nancy Pelosi, somebody's paying Nancy Pelosi to send out the stuff. I don't think they were giving her a check for doing this, maybe.
No.
I think, though, I want to know who those somebodies are, because those somebodies or somebody are the real evil forces that are trying to destroy the Colorado Republican Party. Those are the forces who were happy to stay quiet and behind the scenes and kind of keep pushing KBB, the Chris Murrays, as long as the establishment uniparty did whatever, whoever these people are, whatever they wanted, right? But what we have now is with this lawsuit, we can get some disinfectant. Oh, we've got Mark Hampton. Hey, Mark, if you want to unmute yourself and come on, you can. Oh, is Eli Bremmer responding? I can't read that. Oh, Mark, do you want to come on or no? If you don't, I'll try to figure out how to read it.
Come on, Mark. Let's
You
see
can't
your
read it.
beautiful face. Yeah.
Oh, hey, thank you. This is Mark Hampton, everybody. Parker Conservatives, the Honey Badger Report, We the People Network. What is Eli saying, Mark?
I'm sorry you can't read it. So it says this is from Eli Bremmer. I'm not sure who he sent it to. This is your official notice that you have posted false and defamatory statements about me on your Facebook page. I have never coordinated funds, campaign, or otherwise with Mark Waller. I have never had any association with any funds from Soros, nor would I ever coordinate, expend, or receive funds from him. Remove your defamatory post immediately. I have contacted my attorney to initiate legal actions on you for your demonstrably false and defamatory statement. You are desalinating multiple addresses of confidential voters in the state of Colorado. You are hereby notified to cease and desist immediately and remove your social media post with the information. We have notified law enforcement and will be taking all legal actions at our disposal to stop your illicit behavior.
What's he talking about? Who's Mark
Whoa.
Waller? Do you know who Mark Waller is?
No, I do not.
Okay. Who's he talking to? I mean, that I don't think is reaction to the law. I know the lawsuit we've been talking about, it's up there. What's he talking about there? Do you know?
I have no idea. It was a somebody confidentially sent it to me.
Okay.
I have no idea. It's not posted on my sites,
No,
so I'm not
that's not.
sure. No, he's not talking about your Facebook page.
No, this was
No.
sent to me by somebody, obviously, where it's been on their Facebook page.
Well, at least he's not calling himself the chair anymore. I mean, what do you make of the lawsuit, Mark? To me, I think that's one of the best things, again, because it's going to help through the discovery process, help us get to the bottom of who was really, because again, I don't think Nancy Pelosi and Todd Watkins were the brainchild or the
Well, they
funding
could have. Well, they weren't the main
for
child,
them
but
or the funding sources for this. Who, I mean, and I think that this will help us figure that out. I mean, what do you think?
yeah, I believe so. I think the big thing is getting these guys in the deposing them, getting them in the chair under oath, and asking those hard-hitting questions. You know,
Right.
and I think you start from the bottom and work your way up. You know, squeeze the little ones first and leave Todd and Eli for the end, because then you're going to have all this information from all these other people. And I think you start off with Britta. That's the one I'd start off
Yeah,
with.
yeah.
Who, by the way, is
I
running for
mean,
state
she's
party
the one
chair?
run for this chair. Put her out there first.
Yeah.
See, you know, especially when you have this many people, is, you know, Chuck, both of you know, I mean, deposing this many people, they're not going to have all their stories straight. I mean,
No, that's a
it's
good
going to be
point.
sideways every way from Sunday for these
Right,
folks.
right. Well, and they all have kind of different motives. And as we, you know, as I said, Britta is running for chair now, and I think that would be a good question to ask her. It's like, okay, you're going to be chair now. Let's talk about the fake vice chair position, right? Who was behind all that? What do you know about that, right? Who was helping to pay for that, the meetings and things like that? Well, and you know, Mark, of course, they're going to be like, oh, this is divisive. It's
Divisive.
divisive of
Oh yeah,
days.
because they're uniters,
Oh,
not
yeah.
divided.
And the coup wasn't divisive at all. Yeah, right.
No. All the way up into a couple of weeks before the actual election, they were just making sure that even though we did great, all things comparison, we took, you know, half the congressional seats, we increased the House seats, we won some others, but you know, they didn't like that.
No,
There was no.
when it's like any other bully, Chuck. When you stand up to them and you pop them in the nose, they just, they want to run away and cower,
Right.
and that's really what they're doing. I mean, a lot of the things that I watch are right out of the Democrats' playbook. You know, a lot of the things that you see them doing are what the Democrats did to Trump during the 4 years and as he was running this last year and a half. There's been a new meme going around that has Dave in it with all the fire and stuff. I mean, that's right out of their playbook. So it's pretty in a lot of ways hysterical to see.
Right. Well,
Well, it was great over this last weekend down in El Paso County. Trader Todd ran for chair and got a whopping 25 votes.
24.
Oh, I'm sorry,
Yeah,
did I say that?
including his
That's
wife.
right. He had more endorsements than he got votes.
And what is this surveillance? Well, first, I think it's funny, and I know you've got some great stuff up there on Honey Badger Report too, where you talk about they're like grassroots now. It's like, no, you're not grassroots. I think, and we were talking about this in Adams County, where the grassroots did well, particularly given the fact that all they've tried to do is smack us down and defeat us and cause problems. I think the grassroots movement, particularly with Trump, I mean, not even particularly specific because of Trump in place, is only going to grow in Colorado, don't you?
Oh yeah, I totally believe he's going to grow. You watch what's going on now, and every day, because of the things he's doing, more and more people are getting involved, right? And he talks about the big tent, but he doesn't say, I'm going to have a big tent and invite all these people that don't believe this stuff, and I know I don't believe it. His big tent is, hey, you want in my tent? Here's what you're going to believe. And
Right.
people are standing up and saying, you know what? I can get behind the Republican Party now. I have a person that has values and principles that I can address to, that I believe in, and I'm going to get in that tent where they
Right.
may have not been in it before. We don't want these wishy-washy people.
Where do
Well,
you
I mean, never in the history of the Republican Party, I don't think, maybe Abraham Lincoln or something, as someone ran and said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and do that, and comes into office and within 2.5 weeks is doing all the things he said he was going to do. I mean, it's unprecedented. It's just amazing. And Eli with the Doge, I mean, that's
Mark,
just,
you mean Mark? Oh,
yeah.
Eli Brem, not
Not
Elon,
Mark Brent,
Elon Musk, not
Elon.
Eli.
Yeah, Elon Musk. I mean, it's just incredible the things he's done, and it's
Yeah, the
just.
media can't keep up. I mean, it's
No.
really, as a football term, flood the zone.
Yeah.
Trump is just flooding the zone. The fake media can't keep up. By the time they report on something, it's already changed, and
Right.
usually for the better, as they
Right.
try to tear it apart in the morning shows. But by noon, he's already down the road with wind.
It's like all news. Why do you think it is, Mark? And then we'll let you go because I know
Well, I
I
just
mean,
want to ask a question because I
oh,
haven't
I got
like.
a question first, though. Hold on to your question. Why is it, do you think, given what's going on around the country, why is it that there is still this faction of Republicans in Colorado that don't like Trump, that want to hang on to the, mass deportation, not mass deportation, but mass immigration, that this uniparty establishment wing that wants to do everything they can against Trump? And the grassroots party. Where are they coming from?
I think some of it, Julie, in my opinion, is money and power. I think as Doge gets to more and more of this, there's going to be a lot of these people here in Colorado that have NGOs or interest in the NGOs, and they are the people getting this backdoor money, our tax money, and that's why they don't want this stuff to go away. Because, hey, let's face it, at a federal level, if you're making $174,000 a year, how can you have a net worth after some, 10 years of $20 million. Let's
Right.
be real. This money's coming from somewhere, and they're really starting to worry about it. Maxine Waters just talked about it.
Yeah, she says, what do they have on us?
Hot
What do they
mic
have on
moment
us?
on what are they going to find on
She
us?
lives in a $4.6 million mansion. She's worth I don't know how many millions, and she's been just a congresswoman for 20 years. I mean, what do they have on us? This is sensitive information. Very sensitive information. I mean, it's just great
So,
stuff.
that's a federal level, but it comes right down to the state level too. I mean,
Well,
that corruption goes the whole way down. They see everybody how they do it with their hands out, and they say, "Hey, I want a piece of that pie too. How do I get that taxpayer money to come my way?"
I must admit, I'm going, why didn't I ever form an NGO?
We should have. Well, it's right in the curve. We were like, we should have had a pot company when it became legal. Now we're like, we should have just had an NGO.
Why do we have an NGO?
Yeah.
And
Would have been a lot less work.
teach Afghani students. I mean, I love the one where they got 10 million to teach Afghan refugee women the values of modern art, like urinals and stuff. I mean, $10 million. Whoa, baby. Some good stuff. Well, give us a report on You know, we gave a report on Adams County, which was a split. They got the chair, we got the vice chair and the secretary, and the bonus members were almost evenly split, which is amazing to me in a lot of ways. But you think that one side or the other, particularly for bonus members, would prevail. I mean, you know, they had the votes. It wasn't. It was split down the middle. We got people elected, including Julia and myself, but they got a people elected. I mean, it was a split, and I don't know who was voting split tickets and all that, but it was a split deal. Tell us about
Douglas,
Arapahoe County.
Douglas,
Oh, Douglas, I'm sorry,
Douglas.
Douglas
Yeah,
County.
so our reorg in some ways went really well, some ways not. A little bit from the executive side split like Jeffco. So we got from the grassroots, we got the chair, which is very important. We got the second vice chair and secretary.
Okay.
We lost the vice chair to what we call here in Douglas County the squishes. Or the establishment, rhinos, however you want to look, and the treasurer as well. So we kind of split that. Now, the big thing on the SEC members, as we went through the list, we dominated, the grassroots did. We have
Really?
3/4 of SEC members
Wow.
are hardcore grassroots, Parker Conservative following, We the People following, Freedom Fellowship following,
Well, that's great.
good
How
conservatives.
many bonus members does Douglas County get?
Oh, God, with third. Pam's not around for me to answer. It's close, right around 30, Chuck.
Okay.
Wow, that's
Now, for
great.
folks who are listening,
El
they're like, what
Paso is
is
the only other county that gets more than us.
the reason this matters is these are the people who will now, in about a month, month and a half, be electing the new leadership of the Colorado Republican Party
Exactly.
and will be taking the votes on where the Republican Party goes. So that's why this kind of thing matters. So,
So
yeah.
I don't know if this number is right, but I read it on somebody's site because they were whining about it that. We have about four to their point. So this is the establishment rhinos talking about 400 good core grassroots people, and they're like, "What are we going to do? We don't have a big enough voice to basically oust us at this point." So they're like going, "How do we navigate this?" And it's just like, what it is you're looking to do? You want to stifle our vote now? Is that what it
Right.
is?
No, but I have an answer for them. Go ahead and become a Democrat, right?
Yeah,
Just get out of the
exactly. Leave
party. It's
the
like,
party.
first you might want to look at what is it that everyone else is doing and Trump is doing that is so popular, right? And maybe I should rethink my position. And if I don't want to rethink my position, well, maybe you're not a Republican.
Yeah,
So.
you know what's amazing is that you think that, you know, oh, this must just be Colorado. Most assuredly, it's not. Down in Texas, it looked like the grassroots populace had taken over the House, which had. They always had a majority of Republicans, but there were enough squish Republicans to join with Democrats to control the Texas House. So this last election, the primaries, they got a lot of the squishes out, and so everybody, yay, we'll have a speaker that's a populist. No, 36 Republicans voted with 46 Democrats, and now have taken over the House.
Right.
Just amazing.
We
I
got
mean,
to
it's
keep our
just
eyes open. We
amazing.
got to keep our eyes
Yeah.
open.
And we got to keep pushing forward. That's the big thing for us, is we
Right.
can't take the foot off the gas. We have to keep on pushing, keep moving forward, just like Trump's doing. We just got to flood the zone and keep the momentum going because we do have the wind behind our backs. We got the president. We just got to keep it going.
Exactly. All
Yep.
right. Well, Mark, thank you for coming in and chiming in here. We'll look into it. I'll see if I can figure out what Eli Bremer's freaking out about. But thank you. And thank you for all the work you guys do there.
All right. Appreciate you guys too. You guys take care.
All right.
Okay,
Thank you too.
bye-bye. Have a
Okay.
good show.
Thanks. All right. Let's see from Jacob. There is always going the route to ask the banks that handle the checks and deposits to the Republican Party, check who endorsed those checks and bring them to that position. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's why this lawsuit, people would be, oh, divisive, divisive. The lawsuit is good because it's going to help peel back the layers of who were the people who were trying to overthrow the real Republican Party here in Colorado and who was funding it. And this is the secret people, right? And that's what we're going to be starting to find out. Now to talk about fun stuff. JD Vance, it's like, he's not going to be like Kamala Harris. Biden couldn't send her anywhere because she couldn't.
Oh, he sent her everywhere, but didn't make any difference. I mean,
She couldn't.
she'd show around, she'd giggle, and she'd do the cackle
Right.
laugh. And you know, that was it.
J.D. Vance, meanwhile, is taking, not taking no prisoners.
No, it
So
was taking no prisoners.
he
It was
goes,
definitely no taking no prisoners.
yeah, I mean, he's, and they're not, you know, they're not like messing around here anymore. And so he was speaking, he's in Europe, right?
Munich Security
That's
Conference.
right. And so he gave a speech, and I'm sure everyone was thinking it would be this boring speech. La, 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 la. It was not. He woke them all up. So I want to play. And first, he took Europe. If we think the censorship is bad here in the United States, it's way worse in Europe. And they're trying in Europe to force companies like Twitter, like if even if it's here in the United States, that they can jail them anyway. I mean, it's insane. And J.D. Vance talked about that. Thomas, if we could please play the Vance censorship soundbite.
Opinions isn't election interference. Even when people express views outside your own country, and even when those people are very influential. And trust me, I say this with all humor. If American democracy can survive 10 years of Greta Thunberg scolding, you guys can survive a few months of Elon Musk. But what German democracy, what no democracy, American, German, or European will survive, is telling millions of voters that their thoughts and concerns, their aspirations, their pleas for relief are invalid or unworthy of even being considered.
I mean, it was just, you know, he's saying you can't be doing this kind of censorship here, right? And calling them out on it. And they do. And then he went on to talk about, you know, he was talking about Ukraine. They're all freaking out because Trump is now talking with Putin. And Zelensky's like, wait a minute, what about me? And they're like, yeah, we'll call you a little bit later, you know. And all of the European people are like, well, we are not in these talks. And Trump's like, no, you're not, actually.
Yeah, no.
And by the way, we're going to end the war. And then J.D. Vance also said, oh, and also, by the way, you guys can kind of take care of yourself here. We're not going to be paying for everything anymore. If we could please play the Vance Europe soundbite.
The administration is very concerned with European security and believes that we can come to a reasonable settlement between Russia and Ukraine. And we also believe that it's important in the coming years for Europe to step up in a big way to provide for its own defense. The threat that I worry the most about vis-a-vis Europe is not Russia, it's not China, it's not any other external actor. And what I worry about is the threat from within, the retreat of Europe from some of its most fundamental values, values shared with the United States of America.
And I mean, he was talking about the mass migration. It was funny. The Babylon Bee came out with a map today. So it showed, you know, and it was kind of funny. And it was calling Europe the new Middle East, right? And they had Trump had renamed the Atlantic Ocean the America Ocean. The Pacific Ocean was the other America Ocean. They called
the Indian Ocean was a far American Ocean.
They called Greenland Marjorie Taylor Greenland. What did they have? They had they had like Norway and stuff, the land of people with bad teeth or something like that. I mean, it was just, and they called like South Africa musky land. I mean, it was pretty funny. I mean, he was just renaming everybody. Oh, and then they were talking about how maybe J.D. Vance could become the new governor of England. They're not, so it's just kind of funny. And I'm sure in Europe, they're like freaking out. But it's like, you know, Donald Trump is like, we're not running cover anymore or paying for it. When he said, you're going to have to step up in a big way. In a big way. I mean, a big way, right? So that was
Well, you
fun.
Have to understand, Europe has basically scraped its cabinet clean of all tanks, planes, motor vehicles, all the stuff's been sent to Ukraine, and they don't have any more. I mean, they can send more money, but they don't have any just stuff that they had where we gave to them or they bought from us. And so they're going, whoa, wait a minute.
That's right. Well, oh, and Jacob is right. Yeah, on the map, they called the Gaza Strip Gaza Largo.
Gaza Largo.
Where Trump is going to rebuild it. The other thing that's been fun to watch is them, just there's no pussyfooting around with the media, too. I mean, we'll play a little bit later just because it's Party Friday, Trump slapping down poor Caitlin Collins from CNN. But I don't know if you heard, so Trump renamed the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America, right? The same way Democrats been renaming everything, and no one has a problem with that. You don't have the Associated Press or CNN saying we're not going to call, we're going to keep calling Mount McKinley Mount McKinley. We're not going to call it Denali, right? I mean, they rename everything, and no one had a problem. So Trump says, "Okay, I'm going to call."
Well, they were They did have Congress rename them, so Trump's not bothering at that step.
Well, but I mean, still, they didn't. It only goes one way, you know. Again, the critics. So he calls it the Gulf of America, which I kind of think still is just a great troll, really, too. But Google and Amazon and everybody else has gone along with it. The Associated Press has said, no, we're not going to go along with it. Now, the Associated Press, the way it works in the White House is, as I understand it, they have like pool reporters, right, where they go in and they get to go into the actual Oval Office when Trump is doing. And Joe Biden, it didn't really make any difference because he didn't
come out.
He didn't do anything. But under Donald Trump, that's where news is constantly breaking now.
He's always giving press conference.
The executive orders. And so they have pool reporters, and then the pool reporters file it and everybody else could take it, right?
They kind of represent the whole group.
Because not everybody can fit in the Oval Office, right? I mean, that happens in local news too, right? And when the Associated Press has said, okay, we're not going to call it the Gulf of America, the president said, okay, well, you can't be a pool reporter in the Oval Office. Oh, and by the way, you can't come on Air Force One either anymore, right? Now, they can still go to the news conferences. They can still do everything else. He just took away their privileged status, and they are freaking out. They want to file a lawsuit saying, oh, it's a First Amendment violation. It's not a First Amendment violation. I mean, he just said, you know, you don't want to play by our rules and you don't get to have these special privileges. And this was from before, but Leavitt, the new press secretary, she's just like good. She's just
she's
like
a
good.
Tagger.
So she and Caitlin Collins got into it and her answer was perfect. Thomas, if we could please play the AP soundbite.
I don't agree. Which White House official made the decision to bar the AP reporter from the Oval Office and the diplomatic reception room last night?
Well, first of all, let me just set the record straight. It is a privilege to cover this White House. It's a privilege to be the White House press secretary. And nobody has the right to go into the Oval Office and ask the President of the United States questions. That's an invitation that is given. And there are hundreds of outlets on this campus, many of you in this room who don't have the privilege of being part of that pool every single day and getting to ask the President questions. We reserve the right to decide who gets to go into the Oval Office, and you all have credentials to be here, including the Associated Press, who is in this briefing room today.
But isn't it retaliatory in nature is the argument, because the reason that the AP was barred, which they said was because they're not using the phrase Gulf of America, they're using Gulf of Mexico in line with their standards. And so the question here is this setting a precedent that this White House will retaliate against reporters who don't use the language that you guys believe reporters should use? And how does that align with the First Amendment commitment that you were just talking about?
I was very upfront in my briefing on day one that if we feel that there are lies being pushed by outlets in this room, we are going to hold those lies accountable. And it is a fact that the body of water off the coast of Louisiana is called the Gulf of America. And I'm not sure why news outlets don't want to call it that, but that is what it is. The Secretary of Interior has made that the official designation in the geographical identification name server. And Apple has recognized that. Google has recognized that. Pretty much every other outlet in this room has recognized that body of water as the Gulf of America. And it's very important to this administration that we get that right, not just for people here at home, but also for the rest of the world.
So, I mean, it's like, so take that. It's like, it is a fact. It's like, it just says, but first of all, I find it so ironic that some of those outlets are saying, is this retaliatory? I mean, looking what they did to him for years, it's like, please. So Jacob is like, what were the smaller papers doing when they could not access the Oval Office? Well, that's what the pool situation means, Jacob. So that means that there are a certain number of outlets that are allowed in there, and then they have to
share
with everybody, right? They come out and they immediately file a report, and that's everyone can take it, right? The other thing I would like to point out is the people being barred from stuff like that is not new. And it happens here in Colorado. There was a time, you know, when anything from the governor's office to police departments to whatever, sometimes if you made somebody mad, they would be like, you can't come to our news conference, right? Or they would flat out say, you know, we're not giving you press releases anymore, right? And then theoretically, you'd all kind of have to make up a little bit later. And generally, it would kind of work out. But I mean, that's nothing new, right? For Caitlin Collins to be like, this is retaliatory, blah, 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 against the, you know, First Amendment. It's like, no, it's like, if you're the guy giving the interviews, you get to decide who you give the interviews to.
Right, right.
And Trump has said, you know, if you're not going to do it, then we're not going to do it. You know, if you're going to play ball. I'm from Karen Candling. Be on the lookout for the huge political payola from the Internews Network that's been going to the news outlets that have reliably pushed the leftist narrative. AP, Reuters, New York Times, and other international news agencies we have watched act like sheep. Right. Well, and Karen, particularly I find interesting is now we're seeing how much money they were getting.
Yeah, from the government, USAID, and everyone else. I mean, they were just, those are subscriptions for
Pro
editions.
Millions of dollars for Politico, which is free. So I think that had a lot to
not
do
free
with,
anymore.
Yeah, a lot to do with pushing the narrative. And you're right. I mean, it was, they were part of the narrative and they were making money off of it. And I think, you know, if Trump's going to cut AP off, number one, so somebody else is there. It's not like the information isn't going to get there. As Carol Levitt said, there are literally hundreds of, you know, go ahead, let Joe Rogan go in there, you know, or let somebody from the Daily Caller go in there, or let somebody from, you know, OANN. There's tons of news organizations that would like to be in there. And you know, same thing with the traditional, I mean, he's opening it up to some of these other news agencies too. And all of a sudden these big guys who no one is watching anymore think, exactly.
They've been waiting 4 years as they paid patty cake with Biden to rip Trump apart. And now they're losing their chair.
No, and from Karen Candling, you can't understand any of it without understanding organized crime. They make the mafia look like pikers. That's true, Karen. And from Jacob, back to the censorship, Webb did that all the time, Wellington Webb. Oh, sure. Every mayor has done it. There was a time, a long time ago, it was under Bill McNichols, and he would have on Tuesdays, you could, I think it was Tuesdays, you could go in as reporters and he would just kind of have, I don't know, it was sort of an off the record kind of conversation where he would just make himself available, right? But if you didn't play by their rules, you weren't in, right? So that's always gone on. And at least this, like Carolyn Lev or said, it's a fact that it's called the Gulf of America, right? And I just think, I don't know, Trump is just great. And he's
and AP, you're called PU from now on.
Yeah. I'm going to pass an executive order saying that you are now called PU. Well, and then he's meanwhile, I mean, you know, some 75,000 of the employees have taken the buyout, which is used that are people were going to anyway. But
well, who knows? But 75,000, about 3.5%. But now they have hundreds of thousands who have
on the
provisional,
right?
One of the first 2 years where you can be fired. I mean, if they get rid of those people, now we're having some fun.
And it's
now you're talking 10% of the workforce altogether, which is even any organization taking 10% of the employees out is not
that, would anyone know really? Okay, hey Jacob.
No, of course not.
Jacob, got your hand up. Go ahead.
The reason it's only 65 to 75,000 right now is because everything is being done manually. None of those records were ever scanned in electronically, so they actually have to go hand pick every single application, every single employment record, and in that Iron Mountain vault somewhere in the mountain.
That goofy mountain thing. You're right. I hadn't even thought of that.
And you know, but Obama, when he was there, he had spent something like $3 billion to get all the records of the federal government, you know, scanned and made electronic. And it turns out they didn't do diddly squat.
They just kept, you'd think that would have been, when you look at that, that's almost even hard to imagine, right? That you some guy has to go down, takes the file from Chuck and he holds it. It's like, you're kidding me, right? You couldn't just like snap it with your cell phone, upload. I bet they could find some kind of fourth grade STEM class that could revamp the whole thing and do it for him, you know?
That's right. And I bet you the people at the paper company probably gave a little bribe to the the GAO saying, we don't want you guys scanning those records. You'll never buy another sheet of paper from us again.
That's right.
You know, so here's a couple of bucks, you know, under the table, and don't scan. That's
exactly. Nope, I think you're absolutely right.
Okay, have a good weekend.
All right. Thank you, too. From Karen, with the MO of paying off media and politicians. It's a good question, Karen. Don't we want to know why Ken Buck started suddenly acting like a Democrat? There is a story there somewhere. You know, and Karen,
does he have an NGO?
Yeah, really?
I think he might.
He maybe wanted one. It does kind of, like you said, and somebody was pointing out earlier, Maxine Waters is worried that they're going into the IRS.
Oh, no, what do they have on us? What do you mean, what do they have?
Well, it's kind of like all of a sudden, Lindsey Graham, all these people, are, you know, and who knows?
These are sensitive, All my bribes are personal privacy concerns of mine. I don't want
That's right. And I think what's interesting is, and we've talked a little bit about this before, but the Democrats don't have a lane here. The Democrats and the courts are like, we need to cover up the corruption. We certainly don't. Kate Timfad, I was seeing this on, she had a perfect example of what the Democrats are doing. It's like, if you find out that your boyfriend is cheating on you and you found it because you saw on his phone the text messages or naked pictures or whatever, and you say, you're cheating on me. And what he does is then he says, you looked in my phone.
That's a violation of my privacy.
It's a violation of my privacy. And all of a sudden you're talking about his privacy, right? And it's like, wait a minute. No, you are cheating on me. And that's what the Democrats are doing. They're like, hey, you know, you looked at my phone. It's like, you looked at the fraud. You can't look at the fraud. No one wants to talk about like the actual cheating, right? Because
well,
you're all
say,
guilty.
We can discuss some of those tangential things at some time, but really it's a wonderful organization that helps people all over the world. Look at all the food we give them. And then you go to things like Poverty Inc., which is a great documentary where, you know, the USAID comes in, gives out free food to everybody, which of course destroys all the farmers. Why buy food when you get it free? And therefore, they are going to starve the next winter unless you give them more because they've destroyed all their farming. So all this USAID helping people, they are just crushing them into poverty and eternal pauperhood.
Right. Well, I'm
guys.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I just wanted to. I unmuted myself.
Go ahead.
It's Karen.
I know, Karen.
I just wanted to say we have often said that when the people are afraid of the government, there's tyranny, and when the government is afraid of the people, there is liberty. And something so massive is going on, as symbolized by the fact that we are now pushing to audit the IRS instead of them auditing us.
Yes. And there, well, and Karen, I know you and we've talked a lot, and you've got, you know, great columns up on your website and things talking about, you know, and everybody's concerned. I mean, it's like Brian Jundep had a comment on this. It's like Christmas every day with Donald Trump. Did you in your wildest dreams, in your most optimistic moments, expect anything like this?
No. And it's I say it's my birthday every day.
Yeah.
There's a Hebrew, Jacob will know what this is. There's a Hebrew line that the left tried to hijack. It's called Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, which means in Hebrew, justice, justice shall you pursue. And there isn't anything more wonderful than people being held accountable, finally.
You know the IRS has assumed it'll never be audited, and therefore all of its corruption is probably pretty easier than most agencies to find. Because they're sitting there, we're not going to be honest.
Election. Well, I think that's one of the reasons they're filing all these lawsuits is that they know they're going to lose, but they're giving people time to shred records and bury traces. You know,
did you hear that suddenly the greatest Google search in Washington, D.C. is criminal defense attorneys? Ask me if I feel bad about that.
No, well, and here's
and the second was countries that do not have extradition treaties for the United States.
That was Maxine Waters. Well, and you know what's great is when you think of it, it's like, why didn't anyone ever think about in this technical day and age of doing an algorithm to go through and find this stuff, right? It's like, I mean, it seems so.
Well, no one did. And
it seems so obvious, but the thing is, it's not going to go away, right? It's not like it's there now, right? And we know that it's there now. So we can say, hey, why don't we just push that Elon Musk button again, you know, once a year or so and see what's going on.
Yeah, that's all I can say is that their defense for all this insane crybabies is continuing to expose the truth. Just keep on exposing the truth and let them cry. I hope they keep crying.
I do too, because they don't have lane. Karen, thank you. Good comment there. Yeah, I mean, their lane is we support corruption, and we don't want it.
We are a party of corruption. We've always been a party of corruption.
People have a problem with that now.
We control New York and Chicago and Boston. We're We're great at corruption.
Right. And the polls keep showing people support Trump. They still support Trump. And
well, it's growing. I mean,
Yeah. Every time you turn around, it's like they were like, what? You know what I mean? And it's like you said, the IRS.
I bet you it's some awful stuff because they just wouldn't have bothered to hide it very well.
Now, Trump, except for Kash Patel, he's got Pam Bondi out there. She's filing a lawsuit against New York.
Well, here's a little bit of a gripe or something. You know, she gets on and says, I filed charges against the governor of New York and Letitia James. And you find out, no, they're not criminal charges, not charges at all. It's just this punky civil claims. And even the governor of New York said, that's it? That's it? These little civil stuff?
And still, when you got Denver Mayor Mike Johnson say, I'll go to prison if it's and you've got Tom Homan saying, okay, we can work with
really?
That.
Yeah, no
yeah. So I mean,
jails are nice.
I think what's going to happen is that you've got Trump doing this, but now his cabinet's in place, right? So now if you're the corporate media, you're like heads are exploding constantly because it's like, okay, what's RFK Jr. going to do? Like today, ooh, Trump signed an executive order saying he will withhold federal funds from schools that are still requiring children to have the COVID vaccine.
That's great.
Right? I mean, it's given all we know about the dangers it does. And Jacob says, we all go through the ritual of doing our taxes every year under the threat of the government. Now we're turning the tables and auditing the Treasury Department. Exactly.
Hey, and Julie, can I say something right quick?
Sure, Charlene.
Elon Musk said, it's almost like there's a uniparty in Washington, D.C. And I thought, you know, Backbone Radio used to say uniparty all the time. And then he also deserves some of the credit for deep state. But it's like they're kind of using the words that we've discovered. And the other great funny thing was Maxine Waters saying they're invading our privacy and we don't know what they've got on us.
Yeah, I love that one. I love that one. Talk about a Freudian statement.
I know. Okay, thanks.
Thanks. It's fun, Trent. Well, this was fun, too. So, you know, at the news conferences, Trump has had numerous ones where he signs executive order and he holds it up and he shows it. Right. And at this last one, Caitlin Collins tries to blurt something out. And his response is hilarious. Thomas, if we could play Trump number one.
And this should have been done by Biden years ago. This should have never been allowed to happen. I know he's a friend of yours.
He's
a friend of CNN. That's why nobody watches CNN anymore, because they have no credibility. Okay, who else? Yes, please.
And I play that one out of order. But that's what he said in response when she tries to push it. Play Trump number two. This is what he says when she tries to interrupt him the first time. Signing the order and now holding it up so they can try to do that.
Mr. President, you've won the White House in part because of high inflation. If your tariffs make prices go
up. Excuse me, we have to speak here, please.
It's just like a kid.
Shut up, bitch.
And it goes to look at her face, because it's just like a kid. He doesn't get rude. It's like a kindergarten teacher says, it's not your turn to talk, Julie. It's like, they just think it's like, excuse me, we haven't asked you to speak yet. Okay. And it's like, it's just hilarious. And yeah, then she pushes it and he goes, you know, that's why no one watches CNN. It's
like, poor Caitlin. This is going to be her big moment, too.
It's true, right? I mean, it's so, yeah, she's going to be the new Jim Acosta. And Trump's like, it's not your turn to speak yet. It's like, nobody's watching you. So, you know, what difference does it make? You know? She didn't have the talk. Yeah, from Thomas, this is true. She didn't have the talking executive order. And from Jacob, Caitlin Collins may be gone from CNN soon. And Jacob, Maxine Waters, ranking member of the House Financial Services Committee. What? Well, that's what do they have on us?
Yeah, that's because she has to service her financially.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, well, that's going to do it for us on Party Friday.
Party Friday.
That's
went
right.
Quick.
We've got dinner to go to. Valentine's Day dinner. Next week, we'll have more on the lawsuit. Dave Williams will be joining us to talk about that and what it is, explain a little bit more about that. And I was talking with somebody today, and they were saying, you know, what are you guys going to talk about your show? And then she said, oh, Trump. Who can? I said, who knows? Like somebody said earlier, from the morning to the afternoon, who knows? Everyone have a great weekend.
And a great Valentine's Day for everyone.
Bye, everybody.